It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
At codesports.com.au, we know sport's greatest stories lie way beyond the scoreboard. Get an exclusive view into the who, how, why, and everything in between explained by the experts. Code, the thought behind sport.
G'day everybody, welcome to the Carlton Show. Round 23 to go, can you believe it? 2019, great to have you with us. Four goal of the margin to the might of the West Coast Eagles in a game that could have got right away from us at the end. There's a bit to talk about here, I reckon. Hello, Bagsy.
G'day, Andy. G'day, Gex.
Buonasera, gentile.
Oh, well, there you go, a little bit of...
Stephen Caniglia, welcome to the football club.
Number whatever.
He's coming, I'm told. There you go. There's a little bombshell right off the top for you.
The mail's been strong, but...
Wait and see. Well, it wasn't strong a couple of weeks ago.
No.
But anyway, it sounds like it's getting stronger anyway. We'll wait and see. You never know, do you?
Just off the top, boys, I reckon from the Carlton Show, from the three of us, I think we probably need to send our condolences to the Liam Jones family, himself, and in the passing, of course, of his mother.
Yep.
A couple of days before the match, I think it was. So, yeah, sincere condolences there, Liam. And, you know, shoulder up
Spot on this week.
And if you're back in the side, if you're feeling up to it and you get out there, give it your best, son.
Yeah, no, it's terribly sad. So, and, you know, like the reality is that he didn't play and Thomas doesn't play. And then you look at the 22 we sent out against their 22. They probably had Nat Nui and Cripps, I reckon, out of their 22. Of their starting 22, we had six or seven out of ours.
I think the other one that, I'm not sure where he was at exactly, but, you know, Cruiser plays, I think he probably brings a lot more to the table than perhaps what Phillips would have brought on the weekend against Hickey.
I thought Phillips is
he competes, Andy.
That was a really interesting contest, actually.
Yeah, it was.
I thought Hickey got him.
Yeah. Got him in the end, the second half.
Phillips had his share of moments.
Needed to kick that goal, of course.
In a nutshell,
you're saying is correct. You know, in comes Shoemaker for his first game of footy. He's taken over a bloke who's played 250 plus in Thomas.
And flying, desperately required for our back half.
Yep.
You know?
Goddard comes in after a cheekbone.
Yep.
I think he's having his second game of the year. Probably didn't. I'm not even sure if he played for the Saints last year at all.
Oh, I don't think he played a game last year.
Right. No, and he takes over Liam Jones, who another one who, you know, I think we missed big time. I think Gex alluded to the fact that they kicked about six goals out of nine entries in that second quarter.
They took 14 marks.
I don't think that happens if Liam Jones plays personally. No. But you know, it's all ifs, buts, maybes. But
well, I think I said to you, Bikes, as soon as you saw the teams run out, once Jones and Tom, there's no way we were beating them. There's just no way we were going to beat them.
No way.
You can say what you like, and we can be glass half full about it.
Yeah, I mean, you say that, and
there's no way that Carlton team. So to get within four goals was an. I think it was an outstanding. We learned a lot about this Carlton team on the weekend.
We did
a lot.
Well, I thought we asked questions of West Coast early, and they certainly responded in the way they know how to respond.
Yep,
that was punish you on the scoreboard, punish you on turnover, but you know, quarter time were 4-1, and they were 2-5. Now, for the rest of the match, we've kicked 7-8, had 15 scoring shots on the board. We put another 4 or 5 on the full by around the corner kicks. And they were shots at goal, but they missed completely. Another one hit the point post, which obviously doesn't register. So you've had another 5 scoring shots that missed the lot. We've effectively had 20 scoring shots after quarter time for a net result of 7-8. Now, they had 17, 18, let's say 18, because they put one on the full themselves. They kicked 13-4 after quarter time. Remarkable kicking. But, you know, 17-18 scoring shots to the West Coast Eagles after quarter time, 20 to the Blues. We've kicked inaccurate. They kicked straight and they got the chocolates. Now, there was obviously there's a lot more in depth than that. They had the game pretty much sewn up at three-quarter time. Maybe a couple of junk goals towards the end there helped us a little bit.
Oh,
the
no,
scoreboard.
You count them all. They all count. You know? So, yeah.
Same inside 50s. You know, they kicked 15-9. We kicked 11-9. Coming into the game, Gex, you said last week, small forwards, you know, they're dangerous. They're small forwards. Well, one of them's kicked four. What I said coming into the game was I felt that in the middle of the ground and our defence, we can match it with them. Well, I don't think we did.
No.
I don't think we did in
they
either
got
part.
Us in the middle.
Yep.
Oh, clearance numbers were okay.
They scored. And contested footy was our way as well.
This is where the statistics lie, I reckon.
I agree.
About efficiency, quality,
The efficiency, they killed us there.
They're silk in transition. When they get outside, they made us look silly a few times.
That's what they do.
You don't touch the ball one end or the other.
It looked like they had extras on the ground.
The other component that I was very frustrated with us, and I really hope something gets looked at in this area before the end of the year. We've got Teague, who's head coach, but he was also the forward line coach. And I want to see a bit more nous about the way we go inside 50. And especially when we're a kick outside or on the cusp of 50, because seriously, we're just so naive with the way we cough the ball up to
them. And particularly against the Eagles, which we knew, that's what I was going to say, is that my part of the ground that I thought we needed to really lift was the forward line, you know, keep it in there, contest. If you could mark it against them, which was going to be difficult, we were clearly a tall short, I think. You know, if a tall short. Clearly, if we had had Charlie or Mitch McGovern, I think it would have helped a hell of a lot.
No doubt.
If you took out Lang out of that forward line, I think that would have helped a hell of a lot. But on the day, I just felt like I just finished watching the replay, Gex. I knew early in the match that we were just coughing it up countless times. But watching the replay, it was even worse.
Yeah. The second half, I thought we were very scrappy.
Really bad.
I thought we were
really bad. Actually, pinpointed.
We were untidy, a little bit
undisciplined. Even short kicks inside 50 hit their targets.
Yeah.
Which was hit Eagles' targets, which
was a commendable result. Scoreboard wise. I think the four goals might have slightly made us look a little bit better than we were on the day, personally.
Yeah.
That's just the way you play
to the siren.
Yeah. But
they've been butchering sides.
True.
They've been butchering sides in the last quarter this year.
But I also thought it highlighted where we actually are as far as a contender type team on the
couldn't
verge.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Compared to where we have to shoot for. They are really the role model of what we want to be down the track. And we've got to look at what we need to do to get to that.
No doubt.
It's a good point. It's a good point, Gex, because like what we are manufacturing at our footy club is very close to their model in terms of back intercept marks, a good reasonable midfield. Although I think we're a much better contested side throughout the year.
Well, that's what keeps us in these games, I think. Yeah. That part of the game is where we can actually match it with most sides.
Yeah. And whereas they've got Darling and Kennedy and there's another
Allen.
Tall down there. Well, he's just a young bloke coming through. I guess, you know, you could say that could be, you know, the three that we've got, McGovern, Charlie and Harry. We just need to find quality small forwards.
That's the thing about the West Coast Eagles. They ask questions of just about every other side in the comp that very few have got natural answers for. You might have one defender who can cope with one of those forwards, but very few sides have got three who can go with them. They play with a speed that is very, very difficult to match. The speed of ball movement is
not leg speed, just
the speed of ball movement.
Ball movement, yeah,
speed
no,
ball
absolutely.
The one element that we really desperately need, and McGovern could be that type of player, but I'm yet to be convinced, is that Ryan. The Ryan is the X factor.
McGovern's not, can't be.
No, but I'm. The Ryan's unpredictable because he's got aerial, ground level, he's dynamic, he's the guy that people sort of, you hear the crowd lift when he's around the ball, because he's like Bezusto was, you know, like you just know something's going to happen when he's around the ball. We need one of those guys. Mm. We've got to find one of those guys to make us go to that next level, I reckon.
Oh, well, of course. But I mean, we got four from Newman and three from Gibbons on the weekend. So
that's,
you know,
not going to happen very
often. No, it's not.
Well, the four from Newman is almost, I mean, it was a positive on the weekend, but it's almost a negative that, you know, we actually needed, we needed more, you know, we needed midfielders.
Conventional goals.
Well, absolutely. You know, I don't think we kicked the set shot all day.
How many set shot goals do we kick? That's
One. Lang in the final three minutes.
It was the absolute opposite of last week. We were creamed in the marks inside 50s, 5-14.
Yep.
Last week against Adelaide, it was the other way around.
Yep.
So I guess it comes down to what the opposition are going to give you, and what we can create for ourselves. But the create for ourselves part is what I'm asking T to do a bit more about. Hopefully.
Well, I know throughout the day, in that third quarter, I was just sitting there saying, like, we can't buy a goal. We don't know how to get a goal here. I think we scunged a few off the carpet virtually. Yeah. Gibbons off the back of a pack, and he was good again, Gibbons. But you're right. The conventional goals. I think Levi only had one shot at goal for the whole day.
I think he almost...
and one snap that he put on the full.
I'm not gonna pot Levi.
No, mate.
He looked like about halfway through the first quarter to the early part of the second quarter, he'd conceded he wasn't going to get a kick and just sort of played that way a little bit to me. Mm.
But I just mean, like, from the set shots that we had, I mean, I think Harry might have had two set shots, sprayed them both. The one that he did kick, he played on, went around the man on the mark. Phillips missed a set shot that, you know, it was, you know, 40 out, which they just scored a set shot in a similar position down the other end. So, like, we were, I don't know, like, I did feel early in the game we asked a lot of questions of them, but they just responded.
Yeah, the minute it got a little bit serious for them, about, I don't know, 10 minutes into the second quarter, whatever, when we got that goal and a half up and we looked like we were up and about, they found gears that not many sides of the comp have gotten. And look, with the 22, I'm almost going to be a one-trick pony tonight. That 22 that we put out, we had six or seven of them that may as well not have played on the weekend.
We got nothing out of about six or seven players.
So we're down about six or seven. The six or seven who we don't need to mention their names. You know who they are. We basically got nothing out of any of them, but we still hung on to them. We hung on to their coattails enough so that in the end, we stunge it. We're undermanned. We don't play well. We don't play well, and we have a lot of non-contributors, which hasn't been our go recently. We've got a really good spread of effort and contribution by many in the last month and a half.
That's what Gex has been saying. We need the contribution from everyone.
Everyone needs
to do something. I felt on the weekend. You're right. You'll probably see out of our votes that there was probably, yeah, six or eight that, you know, geez.
Gave us nothing. So the fact that you get within four goals of this mob, it's and then you hear Teague after the game say, no, they're disappointed. They're sitting in that room right now disappointed. I don't know whether you saw Teague's post.
Yeah.
He said, no, they're not. There's no honourable loss here. You know, our effort, that's a non-negotiable now. We brought the effort. But they're sitting in there knowing that, you know, they made mistakes that contributed to
the ultimate
result. So I sit here saying we were never going to beat that side, right? And I'll say that 100 times out of 100. But the 22 blokes who played for Carlton on the weekend, they were flat about losing that game. They think they could have won the game or got closer. So that's
I kind of think that. Too, Andy,
well, it's fantastic,
to be honest with
mate.
You.
Well, it's fantastic.
I honestly believe that too. I I know you say stats don't mean we're not going to argue about it, but all I'm saying is that generally speaking, when you win, you know, clearances and contested footy, you go close to winning a game of footy. Against this mob, though, unfortunately, I looked at their every single game this year for the West Coast. They get beaten in contested ball week in, week out. Mm. Week in, week out. And most of their games that they play in are very low
Hawthorn never won that stat, and they won three flags in a row.
When you're efficient,
they don't give a fuck about that.
It's the efficiency.
Yeah.
Every one of their wins, I think there was 76% efficiency and above. All their losses are about 72%, 70% and below. So they just, look, they structure up well behind the ball, that's for sure. They transition the ball really well, that's for sure. They swing on turnovers, yep, they do that. Intercept really well, they do that. And they, you know, they've got a forward line that move and create space. So, you know, they've got some areas covered when they've got the ball.
Hmm. So also the Indigenous players, all three of them have, to a man, when they get the ball in their hand, they will hit a dangerous kick and nail that dangerous kick.
Jetta's kicking's just magnificent.
I've just come to admire him more and more the more I watch him, just as an artist.
Like, he didn't have a great game, though, Jetta.
Just the ball use, he's exquisite off the foot.
Well, that's
him and Tip
felt,
and Woody are the best field kicks in the game, I reckon.
Would you agree that on the previous 6 or 7 weeks under Teague, we have been bold and brave in our ball movement? Would you agree that there were parts of the game that
very conservative?
Yeah. Would that be right?
You know who wasn't?
But you didn't feel
well,
that.
Well, anymore? No. Well, again, I thought we were going too quick early.
Early,
and,
yes.
And we were coughing it up. And I reckon there was clearly a revision at quarter time to slow it down a little bit and don't try and keep it away from.
It doesn't necessarily have to be fast about what we're talking about here.
We still didn't want to pull kicks into the middle change angles.
You know
angles.
Who the one guy who always looked for the right kick was? Harry Mackay.
Yeah.
He's just constantly thinking, I want the most dangerous possession.
Change the angles a bit.
He goes 45 degrees nearly every time. He wants to get the side moving attacking mode.
Mm.
He's a beautiful thinker. I love him.
He's a conundrum. Because
I actually thought this was his most complete game of footy without hitting the scoreboard.
Yeah, so that was if he kicks two instead of one, it's three makes it the perfect game from him. The fact that he only kicked the one
I just thought the evenness over four quarters.
I just thought he was fantastic. I thought he played a fantastic game of footy.
The problem was, the best part of his game was up the ground, whereas, again, previously, he's basically a forward 50 player. And that's not where he did the damage. The damage was always up the ground.
This is where we felt the absence of a strong Levi game.
Kerno or McGovern. Yeah.
You put Kerno or McGovern in that side.
Oh.
Then the dynamic change. Harry can get up the ground and do a bit more of. Then that becomes a bit more
absolutely
sort of potent. Mm. So I agree. I'm not knocking what, him at all. You know.
What did you think? Just going through some individuals. You know, some who did play well, some who didn't. What did you think about the captain's game?
Average by standards.
Yeah.
Average.
I thought
he got beaten badly in the end by
what?
Yo.
So Yo is in the top five best players.
He's a beast.
He's a fantastic footballer. Yeah.
Cripps was feeling for him from about halfway through the second quarter.
That's what I felt.
He was trying to initiate body contact, and Yo was just playing him.
He
on
is
a, break.
A massive unit, Yo.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And the beauty of him, and even Shuey. He's a big man, Shuey. He's short in stature, but he's very, very strong.
Yeah.
And they played the defensive and attacking side of that midfield role really well. They kind of half block and look for the right opportunity to actually pounce when the ball falls their way. And they just do it beautifully.
So, really Mike, and I agree with both of you, by the way. My question is, every time we've seen Cripper heavily tagged, he's let his colours down.
Yeah, yeah. Was it a heavy, heavy tackle?
Oh, it wasn't.
Yo went heavy, he wasn't shoulder to shoulder. He didn't Matt DeBoer him.
I think he sort of worked off him.
He was winning enough of his own ball too.
Yeah.
He was trying to nullify him.
Oh,
at
of course he had responsibility for
at
him.
At stoppages.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then they went
wide. Yeah, yeah.
All I'm saying is that Cripper needs to work a little bit harder to shake that sort of.
This is the challenge for him and for the team.
Absolutely.
What to do when that's happening?
Yeah, I think that's what I'm asking.
That's what's got to happen.
Yeah, next.
We've been following this a little bit for the last 6 weeks or so.
Well, I think for longer than that. I reckon we've had this conversation about him. In the past,
they need scenarios and plans. And I think they do a little bit when things are going their way with momentum, and they can shift things around to suit themselves. Yeah. But when it gets a bit difficult, as we're discussing here with matchups. They're not always thinking their way through it, or
I don't know whether he wants to. I don't know where it's at the moment. You'd need to know, but I wonder whether he doesn't want to release himself of the responsibility that he's carrying.
I think that's what it is.
You know what I mean?
If he goes and throws himself in the goal square,
he's saying, "No, I'm not. I'm not good to concede down here." You know. Yeah.
Well, look, Judd's got a 10-point plan that I read from somewhere. It was weeks ago about this very fact that when he was heavily tagged, there's 10 things that you can do to shake your tag. I'm sure Cripper would know all about it.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would. I'd be shocked if he didn't. Having Judd there at the club. But I remember reading it, and there was many, many things you can do, many things. But there was a 10 points that Judd actually put on the table. I just feel that Cripper needs one of those games where they're sitting on him, but he just brushes them off and brings that game that we all say, well, you know what? He sat on his coattails and he still killed him.
Mm.
I think the games that he's really killed teams in, they haven't really sat on him this year.
Oh, well, that was the stupidity of Adelaide the week before. I mean, we talked about that on the show last week. That
what happens in a situation like we're describing, like he's got Yo v Cripps, and it's going to stay that way most of the time Cripps is around the ball. What happens if Cripps disappears out of that contest and goes somewhere else and gets replaced by somebody else?
Kennedy and Cripps switch roles.
You know, it's not like Yo is going to play burst football and destroy you, even if he wants to hang around there. He might get more possessions, but he's not going to kill you. And there are still players around him to hopefully try and negate whatever he's doing. But if you replace Cripps and put him in a more, it doesn't seem to happen enough. Maybe it's the runner thing, or maybe it's left up to him.
There'd be what if scenarios they play out. I think the two options are he's either doing what he's doing, or he's deep in. Is that playing out of the goal square, and he becomes an option. Yeah. You can't. There's no real other. It's one or the other with him. I reckon.
I just see him. I see him as a 50-50 almost down forward. I can see him playing heaps more time than he does.
I totally agree.
And if I was Cripps, I would really enjoy the time that I would have down there rather than going into your shell and not sort of.
I don't think he goes into his shell.
I don't know.
I thought he was still okay. He was still okay.
Of course he was.
Yeah, you know, but he just wasn't. Yeah. He wasn't destructive.
Well,
you know?
Why I brought it up was I thought that in that third quarter, when you know the game was obviously getting a little bit away from us, the one bloke that unfortunately for us or for me, I look at that man and I know that if he can bring a big third quarter, that I appreciate what you say, Andy, that, you know, we probably can't beat them. But I know what he can do. I know that if he pulls out a second half or a third quarter that can lift this side, that's what I was looking for.
It's interesting because I had this down as one of my talking points here about the game, that second half we lacked inspiration. Who excites us It was the two who did were Walsh and Harry out of the whole side in the second half. They were the only driving forces who were trying to lift the team, it seemed to me. Yeah. We were waiting for a moment to get us going, but it didn't happen. Levi Cripps, we needed a big goal, a big mark.
Something.
Just to spark that momentum shift again, and it just didn't happen.
No.
But the potential was there for us to...
That's what I thought. I thought, Andy, there was a little...
Like we were waiting
there was a window
for
there that
bit.
If someone...
I felt it too, Baz. I did. I really did.
I felt that there was a 5-10 minute period. I kept saying like to myself, you know... Take two off the scoreboard. We're back in this. Yeah, we weren't getting them.
No, we buried for Carlton. So, we're, of course, we're hoping that we're going to find a way. But that's what we hope we're going to be able to produce. You know,
I'm whistling Dixie.
Well, we're starting to believe that we can do this. You know, we're starting to believe.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But look, I like to think that, you know, when we're here, look, help a man out, will you? Help a brother out. I like to think that I can see both sides of the equation and, you know, and I can see through both eyes a little bit. And around here we're talking from a Carlton perspective, but I was calling the game on the weekend and I thought before the game, I said, if they get within four, this is exactly what we said at the start of the game, if they get within three to four goals, it's a big win for Carlton. I mean, you know, you're talking to, that's where I was at the start of the game and I know we had moments in the game where for a lot of the game we were competing.
Well, I tell you what,
a lot of the game we competed. Yeah,
I tell you what, you know, still in the third and the last, we had plenty of entries, but just
we botched a few of them.
Oh, botched plenty of them. One bloke that can in the past has got hold of us in Josh Kennedy. I thought Wiedering's job on Kennedy.
Wiedering super.
Mate, seriously, I mean, that
quiet, unstated. He smashed him, didn't he? Oh,
like,
mate,
he did.
Put him to sleep.
I liked how he was much more proactive in this particular. He seems to be growing in confidence even more as the season goes. Like he led Kennedy to the ball on a number of occasions when the ball was coming inside 50. He just broke away from him, and you know, Kennedy was lagging 5-10 metres behind him, and Wieders just took the ball away a number of times. I thought that was really good. Yeah, the way he backed himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, I thought he was great.
And I know that Darling.
No, Plamen was okay.
He did okay.
Plamen was okay.
I thought he did okay.
Well, I mean, Plamen sort of played a big defender's game almost to be playing. There was something a bit more physical about him.
He spoiled a lot
I
more.
Yeah, I thought he
certainly spoiled a lot.
A lot of those spoils seemed to go over the back instead of in front, unfortunately.
One or two did, but you know what?
They always lead the goals.
I think he really only kicked one on Plowman, to be honest.
Yeah. I thought
one was out of
got
a ruck
duel. Scunchy ones, yeah.
Yeah, and one was just, he lost him. But I thought, again, you know, those two there, you know, obviously going into the game, there would have been of some concern to us. I know that one's kicked three, the other one's kicked one.
There are signs that Plowman is coming out of his shell a little bit too. But like he's starting to put a good block together, I reckon. With ball in hand, he's starting to turn a defence into attack a little bit more than he used to. Mm. You see him like up on that outside 50s position, and he was speared a beautiful kick in. He was hoping to hit Levi, but there was a pair of hands just in front of him.
It was a beautiful kick, actually.
I liked what he was trying to do there, but I think he's trying to push himself to do things he's not comfortable doing previously. Anyway,
what about the old man?
It was super. Fed chucking himself back in the flight of the footy.
Oh yeah,
back end of the season. He's going around again next year.
And he'd have to.
Has to go around again next year.
His last few weeks have been great.
Bloody hell,
he has to. Well, I think we're all. If we look each other in the eye, I think four or five, maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago, we're a bit. Oh, maybe, but not now. If he wants to go, he goes.
No, he goes again. Doesn't
he's
he?
Finishing
he's
the season full
of
running.
Full of running. Yep. Full of running. Ed Curnow's job, was he, where was he? Was he partly responsible for Shuey and then a bit of Gaff? I don't know.
I thought Gaff was a bit more outside. There was the Gaff, Petrocelli, O'Brien, Setterfield, they all had a little bit here and a little bit. I don't think any of those guys were terribly dominant. I don't think it was a great. I don't think it was a game where blokes produced towering performances.
No,
I don't think it was. I don't think it was a game full of brilliant individual.
I had six core players scoring high votes, and the rest were
I didn't. And on their side too. I don't think West Coast. They were just better.
Yep.
They are
had a
bit
lot
more
of guys who were reasonably anonymous.
Yeah,
too.
No, I don't think. I
and
don't
yet,
think they lit it up.
They seem to travel quite smoothly. For
they're
the
just
match.
A good side, mate. They're the defending premiers. You know, they won the flag last year.
To watch sides like that.
Yeah,
you
they won
think,
the flag.
Why are you so freaking good?
Well, they're settled, and you know they've got some X factor, and you know they don't want for much. And honestly, they've got two blokes out of their side, two. And Jamie Cripps is an okay player.
Yeah.
He's not going to make or break
him. I don't think he makes them that much better.
But he's probably in their 22, and Nat Nui's the game changer.
Who would you have in for Cripps? Probably Petrocelli or?
No, Waterman. Waterman would come out for Cripps. So, but that's it for them. You know, and we know the blokes. I'll take just about two of any of our blokes that didn't play. And say, well, you put those two in alongside your two, and our two make us as good as your two make you as good. If you put Cruiser and Thomas back into the side for Carlton, and you put Cripps and Nat Nui back into the West Coast side, well, what Cruiser brings to us is as important as what Nat Nui brings to West Coast.
Cancel each other out.
And Thomas makes a massive difference. So, or it could be Kerner, it could be McGovern, or it could be, you know, it could be Jones, it could be whoever you want to bring back in. But I think that was my starting point, undermanned, played poorly, pushed them, won the last quarter.
Yeah.
Hold your heads up high.
We won the first and the last.
And we head off to Sunday now. Sunday is a more winnable game for us than this one. Sunday's
really?
More, I reckon.
Based on what?
A couple of players will come back in. MCG we're better at. They'll look at West Coast and they'll go, well, you know, we're I'm not saying we're going to beat Richmond. I'm not saying that. But I'll go into the Richmond game more confident of an upset with a different 22, I keep saying, than I was against West Coast.
I reckon Richmond are harder to beat at the G than West Coast at Dockland.
We'll see.
Personally?
It depends on the 22, mate. Just what I'm not turning up there on Sunday thinking
if I'll go as far as to say if we get I'm pretty sure Liam Jones will play, I'd imagine.
I would think so, yeah.
Hope so. Thomas would be playing.
Cruiser
big chance, and maybe Mitch McGovern.
It sounds like he's playing. They're making the sort of noise that suggests
four or
five
changes on the cards.
Well,
if that's you're going to pull
it's not hard. It's not hard, mate.
Not hard.
You're not breaking it.
It's a lot of changes.
Well, but there's four or five that could easily go out.
Yeah.
Well, you'd go Schumacher, who I thought was okay.
He looked like a young Simpson out in the game.
How the fuck did he not know that Elliot Yeo was coming?
Oh, Andy.
What was that?
Oh, well, it's
headlights first game. I think, strangely enough,
I thought he actually looked okay.
Oh, no. When he had ball in hand,
I thought he did a couple of nice things. I thought he went for one ball where, you know, well, you want him to go. You certainly don't want to.
He didn't go into his shell or anything, did he?
No,
he kept going.
Look, he's not in my votes, but I can tell you, I thought on the day. You know, he showed something. And I'll tell you now, he probably showed more than what he's shown in quite a bit of the Northern Blues games.
He could be a player.
I like the fact that he got a taste and he knows what's required now.
So if you look at those four that we mentioned coming in, and you possibly look, well, Phillips wouldn't play then, would he?
No, Cruiser would take his spot.
So Phillips would come out for Cruise.
You'd think so.
Jones would go in for Goddard.
Yep.
Thomas would go in for
Shoemaker.
And Mitch McGovern would come in for
Lang
or DeLuca.
DeLuca
got more of it than.
At this stage, I'm sort of thinking Lang, but it could be.
Yeah, it could DeLuca. There's options. They might bring Dow back in as well. They might bring Stock.
Stock.
They might decide to roll a few. Stockers looks a bit underdone. Did you see any of the VFL?
Yeah, I did.
He just needs game time, Stocker. Mm. He's got to work on the tank.
I can sort of see what you're saying against the Tigers. I thought they were average for a half against Melbourne. And when the rain came, it suited the Tigers in the second half.
Oh, no doubt.
They pulled away.
No doubt.
Look, who have they got? Riewoldt and Tom Lynch. And we've got Wiedering and Jones.
That's not a bad start.
Lynch has haunted us in the past.
Yeah, he has.
So yep. I wouldn't get too excited about the matchups at this stage, knowing his history.
I'm going to back him in.
I'm not saying we're going to beat him. I'm just saying I think that our team will be a much better team and a much more capable side than the side we picked on.
On paper, we'll be a hell of a lot better. No doubt about that.
So if we can get within. If we can cut a 6.5 goal three quarter time deficit into a 4 goal defeat against West Coast, I think we can do at least the same against Richmond and possibly get a goal or two closer. And then they've got to make a couple of blues and we get a couple of things right. And you never know. So it will just be a much better side. That's all I'm saying. It seems far more capable.
That's a fair call. I can sort of see where you're coming from. So Ed goes to. Dusty.
Well, there's no Cotchin. So, Cotchin's always been a bit of a thorn in his side. They don't have a tag. They've got no one who stands Cripps.
Well, that's an interesting point, actually. Cotchin out. I forgot all about that. Mm. Mm. That does even it up a bit. Mm. I'll give you that.
And that's our area of dominance.
We've got our area too. Yep, you're right there. Mm.
So if our forward line's a bit more, if functions see. A bit more, efficiently, we'll just wait and see.
At the G, I think it will.
We've got to concentrate on Grimes. We've got to concentrate big time on him.
It's the same. Here's the learning. This is why West Coast is such a good game to play going in, because the West Coast defenders read the cues.
Yep. Don't allow
The Richmond defenders do exactly the same thing.
Yep.
But if you're playing on Matty Kennedy, if Nick Vlosten's playing on Matt Kennedy and Sam Walsh is bursting through centre wing, Vlosten's going to look at Walsh, and if Walsh doesn't look like he's going to use Kennedy and he's going to kick it long to Mackay,
guess
where Vlosten goes? Yeah. And that's exactly what the West Coast defenders have been doing for 5 years.
Yep.
So use the usable option. Spread the targets.
Spread wide. Yep. And everybody expect to get the ball and lead at the bloody play of the ball. Yep. That's what we didn't do last weekend. It shit me to tears.
Yep. We've been pretty good when Rance played. For them, I think Rance. We've kept him under wraps a few times, Rance. I reckon.
Oh, he hurt himself against us at the start of the year, didn't he? But
Wiedering did a good job on him 1 year recently in the last couple of years or so, and nullified him. Actually, kicked 3 on him when he was up forward.
Yeah,
Wiedering.
Yep.
But that's not going to happen. But I know what you're saying in that respect. It's just we'll probably need someone like McGovern to come in.
I think he'll play this. I think they've made the noises that suggest he'll come in this week. And, he comes in with 3 games to play. If he's a fair dinkum pro and cares about his reputation,
he'll give everything. I'll tell you what, he'll be absolutely spewing. He's missed the last 2 weeks. A, against his Adelaide, brother, his old club, and B, against the brother.
Yep. Yep.
It would have been.
Yeah, he's paid a price.
He's paid a hefty price.
He's missed 4 or 5?
Sorry?
How many has he missed? 4 or 5?
Oh, at least, yeah, I'd say so.
So that's a big price to pay for. And so, look, we'll just park it all. It's a week away. We'll talk about it next week. But I don't want to stop just because it's now incredibly consistent what this kid's doing. But. We got to talk. This Sam Walsh bloke, he is next level.
How does he up the ante?
He's getting better. He's a cross between Joel Selwood and pick any running machine in the comp. He ran more K's than any Carlton player on the weekend.
He does it constantly.
Fucking beast in the contest.
Oh, my God.
He's got the thirst for the contest. The thirst for the contest is the bit that I really love, that he will put his head over it and he will go straight into a pack and he just wants the pill.
And the goal he kicked on half time.
The goal was massive.
That was ridiculous. Well, you know what?
That was ridiculous.
That'll
come in time. I'm hoping that you, Andy, you've said quite a few times he's not a noted, not really a goal kicker.
He's probably been two every three games. He's not. That's not been his forte. Yeah. But that was exceptional.
Oh, mate, and you know, when you're talking about his game in particular, then you look at. You look at the quality of the opposition, like the quality of the opposition, and this kid's bringing it at 19. Mm. And, you know, when I see statements on social media that he's just an accumulator,
give me a spell.
I mean, seriously,
you're going to
cop a little. He copped a bake from me.
All the pundits out there halfway through the season that were trying to push these rising star noms in front
Fox
of him.
Bloke.
What did he say?
Oh, he's just an accumulator.
All the pundits.
I'll tell you about it after.
All the pundits at the halfway mark trying to push other rising star noms in front of him, you know.
Oh, it's just ridiculous. Let's call a spade a spade. The bloke's a freak.
Been watching him.
No. It's an absolute non-contest.
You may as well just give it to him now.
Oh, but give him. It's a joke. The fight for second and third, nice.
The all bloke good out in front.
Oh, absolutely.
And this guy, the
highlights reels, fantastic. They're going to look polished on the night, you know, when the award gets announced.
Roy Hobbs. I'm going with Roy Hobbs.
In our little Carlton show, best
he's closing
fairest,
the gap, mate.
There's not much in it, Keith.
In fact, by the end of
do you know what it is?
In the B&F.
Ours?
B&F.
Yeah.
No.
There's not much in it.
I don't know what you blokes have done, but he might be in front
by the end of the round. He's a massive chance.
He might be in front.
The gap's shortened. Oh, mate. Might only be about, off the top, it could be 10 votes the difference.
There wouldn't be many weeks he hasn't polled.
He could poll Brownlow votes.
It's not even a 3-2-1, is it? So yeah. you get a best of 10. How do they poll in the BNF? It's best.
The way we poll. And same system.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
It might be marginal. They might go to five, do they? Or do they give it four? I think we use the same system.
Pretty sure. But he's been so consistent that he'd always been in best and fairest votes, whether it be one, two, three, or four. He's always in there. I can't think too many times where he's been out of it.
He has not had.
I think we've always given
He hasn't had a flat. He hasn't hit a flat spot.
No duds.
And not one. On the weekend, he turned a few over early.
He did. I was just going to say that's the thing. Yeah,
the long inside 50s were a mistake.
But he wasn't the only one, by the end of the game,
he tidied that up.
Yeah.
Yep. He tidied that up by the end of the game. So I reckon he's probably his own harshest critic. He'd be one of those kids that, I know, you'd see the coach coming to me. I know. Don't tell me.
Yep.
I know. I'll fix it up. See me at halftime.
Yep.
You know?
I reckon he is too.
Yep. He's a freak. He is a freak. The kids. He's incredibly special, and we've made the right call.
Oh, you know, at the start,
good luck tagging him.
I'm going to put my hand up here. At the start of the year, before anything had been said or done, I was secretly hoping that we would get Shiel, and that first draft pick would allow us to go hard at Rankin, because I thought we needed X factor over above and everything else. My God, I am so glad nothing that I have said worked out that way.
Well, Kex, it goes to what we, on the back of what we said, I think it was last week or the week before, that, you know, we've got blokes on the wrong side of 30, and, you know, that next layer coming through, it looks as if it's shaping up.
Oh, mate.
Like, he couldn't have come at a better time, as you said the other week.
Midfield.
Yeah, even perhaps Setterfield and Paddy Dow.
Paddy's going to be a player. I've got no doubt about Paddy Dow. I've got no doubt about Paddy Dow. Dave Cunningham, if he gets his body right, yeah. Dave Cunningham's going to play a lot of footy for our footy club.
Well, he got given 3 years.
They know what he is. Yeah. They know what he
was
is.
Was that this week?
Last week, yeah. They just can't get his body right. But get his body right, and he'll be a player. Don't worry about Dave Cunningham. He might just be one of those blokes the penny just takes a little bit longer to. He's been unusual, I'm told, but it'll come.
Blokes like Stocker, he might end up going through the middle.
Caniglio,
Coniglio, yeah,
he'll go alright. He'll fit in.
He likes going through the middle.
He'll fit into the midfield all right. You know, he'll be fine. He'll be good.
You're pretty confident about that, Andy. I don't often hear you all that confident.
I got told by a bloke yesterday
that he's big chance.
Adamant.
Big chance.
Adamant.
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 I wish I was as confident. I had as much faith.
The question I'm going to ask is how.
Yeah, does he fit into the 22? Yeah, he gets a go.
You're an idiot. No, I was going to say, the bloke that was adamant, how well do you trust him?
He gets a lot of stuff right.
Okay.
A lot of stuff right.
Well, I hope the coaching panel gets
stuff. Well, this is there's something going on here that I don't think we know about.
I think. There's
because if it was between...
I'm sensing smoke coming out of something.
Oh, sorry, what's that, Gex?
The coaching panel. Just hope they get it right.
There's something going on. I don't know what it is. It can't be Voss.
Can't be.
I don't think it can be Voss. I think Teague's got Voss covered.
What makes you say that?
Well, Voss's record, where they're actually coming from right now.
You're talking about gut or anything you've
heard? No, the incumbents, 9/10, you know, all that sort of stuff. The kids, he's doing a super job. His record against Voss's record stacks up every day. Well, you put the two records in. Voss's senior coaching record at Brisbane was a bloody debacle, an absolute debacle. What they've done since, Teague's record since is far greater than Voss's. Far greater.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I know they were a bit seduced by. I'm told that the presentation wasn't great, so that put the calls on it. But I just reckon there's something else. I reckon there's still Brad Scott, and I don't know. There's two other things that could bob up here. I reckon one is Hinkley. I don't know what's going on over there, and maybe they have to wait for Port Adelaide season to finish. This is me just reading the tea leaves,
that'd
right?
That'd be extraordinary too.
And I don't know. I'll just say it because I don't know whether Clarkson's completely off the table yet.
Well, Clark, they've reported that they've thrown the grandfather.
I don't think he's. I don't.
Him.
Some people will tell you he's not off the table yet.
Yeah. Well, look, mate, I know nothing about anything.
No, clearly not. I just pulled up five names.
No. My opinion would be that if Clarkson, wants it, I reckon he probably gets it.
Probably.
He probably gets it.
Clarkson,
let me finish though, Andy. Yeah, me finish because I want to ask both of you. A question. I wasn't on my schedule to talk about the coach, but I did want to ask you both one question. Would be about David Teague. Give me one reason why he shouldn't get the job, and give me one negative about him.
That's the thing.
I can't.
That's the stupidity of this whole situation, isn't it?
That's the thing that I keep mulling over my head. I keep asking myself, so why would I put in, if I was on the panel, why would I go for Hinkley, who's been 7 years at a club at Port Adelaide, which have been, let's face it, underachievers.
Up and down.
They've been underachievers.
Yeah, up and down. Yep.
Up and down, underachievers, call it what you like. You know, why would you go for Ross Lyon?
It's not happening.
That's not happening, but why would you?
He'll probably get the job.
Brad Scott, 10 years at North Melbourne for two prelims, and that's about it. So I keep asking myself these questions about these so-called great coaches out there, and the only one that I keep thinking is obviously Alistair Clarkson, because he's got four premierships under his belt. Apart from him, I just can't another option. And who would be brave enough to kick this bloke out for a Voss, this bloke out for a Hinkley or a Scott? I just think that probably waiting for the end of the year to have one last crack at Clarkson. If he says, look, no, I'm not moving. Well, then I think Teague, he just selects himself. Maybe I've got rose-coloured glasses. I don't know.
The beauty of maintaining Teague is as well, you don't have to lock him into any massive contracts or anything either.
No, give him a 2-year deal.
If you get us into the finals or something next year, if you get a grand final, if you win the premiership, hey, you get the keys to the door, keys to the shop.
You get behind him with what he needs, and you back him for even a year with an option on the end of the year. Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
I will ask if they were to go with Teague, do you think he needs a senior type person around?
Whatever they're doing now, keep going with it.
Just go with the same.
Yeah. Well, if it's Wolsey, I don't know who. Wolsey might be the consigliere to him now. You know, he might be the.
If he wants to hang around the club.
Well, I think Wolsey looks like he's enjoying himself.
I don't know. I don't know anything about him.
I haven't spoken to Rob for ages.
I've got no idea. But.
No, and Wolsey's so staunch that he even people he knows.
Because the ruse thing's not going away either.
Oh, I haven't heard that for a while, to be honest.
Yeah, it's not going away.
Okay, well, that would be a disaster. Look, say what you like about Ruse, but I reckon it's a disaster for us.
Yeah.
Not as the coach.
No, I don't want Ruse. I don't want Ruse's style infiltrating Carlton. Well, that's not how this group is being built. That role
that we're talking about, surely that's not a role that tells the coach how to play.
What's he do? What are you giving a bloke 800,000 for? What's his job?
Well, who says it's 800,000?
Well, Ruse doesn't do anything cheap. What's Ruse's job?
You'd oversee the coaches. Talk to them about problems, issues.
I'll do that for 400.
I'll do it for 100. I'll do it for nothing. But I think you know what I mean, Andy, that like you can't pot Paul Ruse, great player, plays over 300 games, been around for a long time, understands the game. You know, he won a grand final at Sydney, knows how to coach. You know, he's got a wealth of knowledge.
How'd he go at Melbourne?
Well, hang on a minute. Well, how did he go at Melbourne?
Yeah.
How did he go at Melbourne? I think he went all right at Melbourne. I think he went okay at Melbourne.
Okay.
But I'm not sure that Simon Goodwin's going okay at Melbourne right now. No. But that's not Paul Ruse this year.
Ruse wasn't there last year.
Correct.
Yeah, well, that
might have been just the overflow of Ruse.
All due respect to Ruse, I
know you've heard things about. You've heard things about him and why we shouldn't have him.
What have I heard about him?
Well, I'm not going to sit here and just tell people what I've heard from you, that you've had a private discussion with me about. I'm not going to say it to you, but Ruse, I'm just saying to you about him. He does have a wealth of knowledge. So if he was there for the right reasons, if he's there and in the support of the coaching staff, if they feel that they need someone like that, but at 800,000, No,
look, I'm chucking the number out. All I know about Ruse is Ruse doesn't come cheap. I don't know whether we need him. I don't know whether...
It was a question. I'm not saying we should. I'm asking you guys, do you think Teague would need someone as a senior around him? That's all I'm asking.
Well, I haven't thought enough about it.
I'm just saying whatever they've got going now, you keep going with it.
All I'll say to end this is that in all the recent appointments that this club has made in the last 2 years, I have ticked off very enthusiastically. And I think we've laid our foundations really well in administration and football operations. I think everything's feeling like it's in place.
Yeah, Juddy could probably lift a little bit.
We're down to a very important part of that last little layer now. Mm. And I just hope they don't stuff it up. That's all.
This bloke just looks like he fits.
This is what I said the other week, mate. Yeah. Sometimes you don't realise what you've got under your nose.
Yeah, no.
Sometimes maybe we've fluked, unearthed a really good person, a good coach.
It does happen.
It happens. Yep. It happens.
And the players have certainly given the rubber stamp.
I don't think these blokes are chucking it out cheap.
No.
I don't reckon they're chucking the. I don't reckon the Cripps stuff on the weekend. Well, I don't reckon the Simpson stuff from two weeks ago.
Well, we spoke about Simo. We spoke about Simo before, and we all agreed he's probably going to go on. Well, he did say Well, it'll be up to the new coach. Oh, I don't know who the new coach is going to be.
Well, he doesn't. Mm. No, well, none of us do.
Mm. So, what does that say? Look, I'm still on the tea train.
Mm.
I'm not moving. And we've got three games left. One again. Look, last week we said we've got three in the top eight, and one against St Kilda, which I believe, you know, we've got to win that game. Got to win that game against the Saints. Richmond, you're saying we're a big chance. I hope you're right.
Yep.
Wait and see. And Cats down at Kenya Park will be tough. But, hey, I saw how Freo played against them. Just put pressure on them around the ball. Pressure, pressure, pressure. That's all they did.
Yeah.
That's all they did throughout the whole day.
Yeah, no,
and that'll be a bit of a send-off for us too, last game of the year. So, mate, he's written his own CV.
Yeah, he's done himself no harm whatsoever. And we'll wait and see. I just hope they don't stuff it up. I'm praying to God they don't stuff this up. I really am.
Look, it's not that easy, Andy. You know, no one's got the crystal ball.
There's no certainties, mate.
No, what happens if we're 0-6 next year under Teague? You know what I mean? That's worst case scenario, but no one's got the crystal ball, do we?
What if we're 0-6 under whoever?
Clarkson. Yeah, exactly. Or Brad Scott. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, but what I'm saying is whoever they put in, they've done their due diligence. They've done all the checks and balances. You know, who are we to say who it should be? We have ideas who it should be.
Well, the supporters are talking pretty loud.
They are, Andy.
But, so, they should be. Listen.
Why?
They do have a voice, mate. They get asked to pony up their membership every year.
Well, that's fine. But they don't know the ins and outs of these people when they're at interview stage, when you're talking to them for an hour or whatever. You know, we can say what we like from the outside, but from the inside, those five gentlemen who have to make a decision, it's informative, they will make the decision.
Oh, they will.
It's not really up to the members to be. We can have an opinion. Absolutely. We've all got opinions, but they're the ones who are going to make the decision.
No, well, Sydney was influenced by people power with Paul Ruse.
And his win-loss, you know, he went all right in the last 10 games.
Yeah, well, Teague's 7-5. Or whatever. What is it, 7-5? What is it?
Well, I don't know. He's won four or five games. Yeah. He's won five. He's won five out of eight.
Five and three.
Mate, I'm... Right now, the decision was mine. I think we all know what I'm making. Mm. It's Teague.
Mm.
But... The panel have to make the choice, I think.
Oh, of course they do. That's why they're there. So they'll make the decision. I just hope they don't make the wrong one. That's all.
What's the wrong one?
Well,
you're only going to find out in 3 or 4 years, aren't you?
Exactly. That's my point.
Well, here's the wrong one.
Sorry, Andy. I'm agreeing with you to a point.
You can take it.
It's just, you
don't have to agree with me.
No. This is a damn good list.
Actually, it's not. You won't find out in 3 or 4 years. You will find out when you see players playing the way they are now compared to the way they were playing in the first half of the year. That's when you're going to know whether the right decision was made, because the players will tell you basically if they're happy and they're up and running. Mm. Sustained periods of them not doing that tells you there's something not right.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's a good enough list with a few little layers to go. And I know if I was a player, I'd be making every poster winner whoever's coaching me.
Oh, well, of course you would, but some coaching philosophies allow players to be
the best they can be,
to play to their strengths more consistently than other coaching philosophies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you've got to understand the group and their personalities and the types they are. And I reckon this bloke, and this is absolute outside looking in, and that's what we're doing, but this bloke seems to know these players. He seems to know what makes them tick.
In a short space of time too, because by his own admission, he said that he had the group in the forward line, like you said, Gex, and then he basically said, I've had to learn, and got got to know everyone really quickly.
So he knew what made players tick at the Northern Bullants. He knew what players what made players tick at Adelaide. He knew what made he knows what is making players tick at Carlton. Wherever this bloke's gone, he has helped players be better. He has helped players play their best football. When he was at Adelaide, when he was in charge of that group that he was in charge of at Adelaide, they were clearly the best they have ever been. That version of the Adelaide front half was the best version of this Adelaide forward line that this Adelaide team has seen, without any shadow of a doubt. So Teague's history is wherever he goes, players play for him. They perform for him at ever since he got into coaching. That's what this bloke's record tells us.
It's been cited that that was one of the main reasons Mitch McGovern wanted to come to Carlton too.
Is that right?
Specifically because
he worked with him. He was part of the group. So, and the other thing is, here's another factor. He will cost you, and money isn't everything, but don't fall into a bloke who's going to cost you $300,000 or $400,000 a year more. Don't fall into him just because he's got a name and he's coached at the level.
There's only one person that takes it ahead of Teague. Only one, if he's gettable. That's it. Yep. That's it as far as I'm concerned.
And the other lesson to be learnt is just because somebody's had success in place A doesn't mean it's transferable.
No, that is very, very true.
Because that's another thing.
We've got to learn from history in that area.
No,
too.
Very true.
That's another thing.
Bloody oath, that's true.
Yep.
Look at the last 20 years of Carlton.
Our culture is clearly different to where coaches have come from previously, and it hasn't worked. So that's another reason to stick with something that's working as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. Anything else from the game? VFL poor. VFLW.
Oh, my goodness. I watched that game.
Really poor.
I started with a lot of energy and I heard it described in the commentary really well, actually, that when teams come to the Docklands and it's this under the roof environment and it becomes a little bit unusual for their regular week-to-week sort of outside football games of football, their mindset changes and they start playing an upward momentum style of football, which we did, and we were just rushing and hurrying and trying to play similar to the way the first play, just too fizzy.
That was shit.
The first 10 minutes though, we dominated, but we were just rooting it around inside the forward line and getting nowhere. And then when the momentum finally shifted, the other side clearly used the ball heaps better. Our skill level was pathetic.
Mate, they're absolute filth.
Yeah,
absolute filth.
And it dropped off the longer the game went.
And I got to say, I sat near the bench the first half, and I'll say it. They're not a harmonious group down there at that level at all.
What do you mean?
Finger pointing, verbals to each other. On the bench, those blokes got to understand that there's people that can hear everything they say, everything. And, you know, they came out after halftime and delivered absolutely nothing. There's something not right down there. And it's a poor reflection on the coaching staff down there. And they would be livid in the way that they delivered that game on the weekend. That was a side pushing for the eight.
Yeah. This is the problem.
Against the side who are bottom four, who have been pummeled a few times.
Yep.
And, mate, I'm sorry, there's something not right at that level, whether it's Northern Blues listed players v. Carlton listed players, whether it's Northern Blues listed players against themselves. I don't know what it is, but they are not the same harmonious group that I saw in the previous couple of years. And weren't winning as many games as what they are at the moment, pushing for the eight. I think there's a few players that need to get their heads out of their asses. I think Josh has got a big job in the next few weeks to put it straight to a few blokes right between the eyes. And if the senior coach, Teague, has to get involved, well, he gets involved as well. But right now, I'm telling you, they are not a harmonious group.
Yeah,
there's blokes singing from all different pages, all different hymn books, and it's really pissing me off, because part of the reason why I go and watch them, or try to go watch them as much as I can, is that I've always believed that they've given their all, absolutely given their all from start to finish, whether they lose by 10 goals, whether they win, or whether they whatever. I always believe that side there has given their absolute all, and I don't believe they've given their all every week this year. They need a good, hard look at themselves.
Mm. Fair enough.
Well,
so the VFLW, you've got an axe to grind with the VFL side. Collingwood beat us in the VFLW on the weekend, which was, you know, by the by. Well, of course, you want to win, but they got blown away early. Bree Davey, I don't know. I didn't see the incident, right? But I've only, and this is secondhand. So if what I'm about to say next is wrong, I fully apologise. I will retract what I'm about to say wholeheartedly. Bree Davey gets poleaxed, smashed. Her face gets smashed to smithereens. Goes off the ground, stitches under. She put a photo out. Stitches under the eye. Half her face blown up. Terrible, right? That happens in footy. No problems. But what I'm told, and people in the crowd were getting into her from the get-go. Fair enough. Captain of the club leaves. You're fair game, right? You're fair game.
You cop what you cop.
You're fair game, right? All of that, no problems. You can get hurt in a game of footy, no problems. What I got told, and this is where I stand to be, and I will apologise if I've got it wrong, there were sections of the Carlton crowd who were jeering and cheering her when she came off the ground in a complete and utter mess. A complete mess.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's not good enough.
If you're doing that, if you listen to this show and you were one of those people who was doing that,
that's disappointing.
That's a shit ass reflection on
that's
you,
shit.
And it's a poor reflection on our club.
Let's grow up.
Yeah, you get hurt. Once somebody's hurt and they're clearly not right, you back off.
Who'd be going to a VFLW game to do that?
Oh, well, you get crowds there, so you know there'd be, and there's a lot of there's no question.
When was that game, Andy?
That was at Vic Park on.
Not the same day, was it?
I'm going to say it was on Sunday. When did we play? Sunday?
We played on
Sunday.
Sunday.
I reckon it might have been early, like a 11 o'clock or on at Vic Park on Sunday.
Andy, if that's true.
Yeah, I'm only reporting what I've been told,
that's
right?
Just not
so
good enough.
I wasn't
it's
there.
Not good enough.
But I'm just saying, if that did happen, and if it was people who listen to this show, we want to be better than that.
Look, you know. She's got a livelihood, you know. She's got a livelihood. She chose that decision. Of course, like you said, it's fair game in the cut and thrust.
Yep.
But not under those circumstances.
Not once you get hurt.
Not under those. That's bullshit.
Once you're hurt, yeah.
That's bullshit.
No. That's no good.
You know, she served our club, you know, for the few years that she was there. She left for whatever reasons, you know, probably coin or whatever. You know what? It happens. We received Judd, didn't we?
Yep.
From West Coast.
Yep.
You know, we're all happy taking their
Of course, mate.
Genius.
Yep.
It's all right when we receive, but when we lose something, you know, let's be better than that.
Yep, I agree. So I just wanted to say that. Their season's galloped away from them, unfortunately, so they won't be in the mix. Disappointing, isn't it? The VFL, VFLW. Like, I was, you know, the AFLW girls. There was a real springboard into that. We thought, you know, we might be able to, and they lost some tight ones early.
Just back to the VFL, and just that other disappointing part about it is that so many times this year we've been scheduled same time as the
seniors.
Yeah. And you know, people, you know, we've always talked about people try to get there if you can, but it hasn't been, you haven't been able to. This was a curtain raiser, Andy. It was a doubleheader, curtain raiser against Collingwood, against the arch enemy. And they just, it was listless. It was pathetic.
Yep.
We had 100 possessions less than them.
Yep.
It was just, I'm not even going to say it's out of character this year, just quietly.
Yeah.
I wish I could say it was out of character. Mm. It's not.
Yep.
It's not. I've seen it in second halves this year probably four or five times. And, you know, wow. You just can have a go at me out there and, you know, I'll probably get a phone call from someone from the Northern Blues, you know, saying a bit of this, bit of that. But you know what? At the end of the day, I call it as I see it, and I've seen it quite a few times, and I'm I'm more disappointed than most because I really felt that that was an opportunity. I want to see them play finals.
Yeah.
I actually want to see them play. This club needs the reserves.
Yep.
We're not in a position to play finals, the seniors, right? We get that.
Yep.
Although you had a chance to get us in there, Andy, on your show the other night. But yeah, a little opportunity has probably just slipped by us. That this club needs something. We got the AFLW girls got into a grand final. That's fantastic. The VFL had a bloody chance to get into the eight, and they didn't want it.
I think this is going to fester as long as we have this relationship with the Northern Bullants.
It's another interesting point.
I truly believe that there is a real issue with club unity when it comes to the relationship we have.
It's possible. It's possible. I know there's a cost factor that it costs double to Carlton if we become Carlton only. Again, there'll be Northern Blues people out there not happy with what we're saying, but we'll call a spade a spade. Collingwood's gone down that way. Essendon's gone down that way. Richmond's gone down that way. I think Footscray got their own side. Geelong's got their own side. To be honest with you, I don't think there's many sides out there
it's a pity if it goes that way, and I'm sure the unstated ambition within Carlton would be to be a standalone, have your own
down team. The track.
No question it would be.
Yeah.
And it delineates the heritage.
I hate having to even consider this, but I look at the Richmond sort of alternative and I see the way the Richmond 2s play.
Yeah.
They play exactly like
they're
the
in lockstep.
Absolutely. 100%. And we've got a production
line. You know,
Jack Ross, Liam Baker, Jack Grant.
It just allows the transition to be so much smoother from one to the other, and just the learnings and the development can be so much more transitional.
There's no doubt about that.
I think it is a big problem, and I hate the fact that there is somebody at stake with a lot of history when it comes to Carlton v the Preston side of things, but I don't know what the solution is to make this work. But
you know what the solution is? Get it right and play your best footy.
As a
combine.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody.
Well, we're talking about this where we don't want to be. So
exactly. Make it work.
Those
who are in charge of that footy club, make it work.
Yep.
You've got a fantastic coach. Mm. Like we've been, I love John. I mean, I'm hand oh, on up.
I don't say these things lightly, Andy. Yep. I'm not here to, you know, it generally hurts me because I'm invested.
I know. No, so, I know you are. I know where you're coming from. I'm not worried about where you're coming from.
But I don't like to sort of speak like this because
no.
I want to be singing their praises.
Of course you do.
Unfortunately, we're talking about it because we care, you know.
Absolutely.
That's the 100%, only reason mate. We're talking about it.
Votes, boys.
Yeah.
I'll go first.
I found it a bit – I knew there was a lot of good players, but I found it a little bit difficult. I didn't give anyone four votes.
No fours.
I did.
I gave three votes to Walsh, Newman, Wiedering, and Simo. Thought they were the four that I thought. I gave two votes to Harry, SPS, Murphy, Jack, Gibbons, and I gave one vote to O'Brien, Setterfield, Cripps, Plowman, and Ed Curno.
The man of Geckmeisterville.
Now I'm really...
Don't worry about Bagsy.
No, you
don't
go for it.
No. I've had second thoughts.
Oh, have a look at him.
I'm going to promote to four now because,
Jesus,
to me, the two that were clearly the best players for us on the day were Walsh and Harry Mackay. I'm going to give them four votes apiece. There you go. I thought both played well and above the level of the other people I have under it. So I'm going to give them four votes. There you go. Three votes each to Simo, Murph, Newman and Weeders. Two votes each to SBS, Ed, Gibbons and Cripps. And one vote each to Setters, Soss, Schumacher. I gave Schumacher one just because he plucked away. And for a debutant to keep going, he had a couple of clangers, but 13 disposals at 77 and an inside 50. You know, he kept going. Good on him. One vote each, Setters, Soss, Schumacher, Phillips and O'Brien.
Four votes to Walsh and Newman. Three votes to Mackay, Murphy and Simo. Two votes to Samo, Wiedering and Gibbons. one vote to Curnow, Cripps, Silvani, O'Brien, Phillips, and Plowman.
We didn't talk about, well, just very briefly, if you want to or not, but Murphy, Jack, and Gibbons. I think Jack's in a rich vein of form. I think he's really bringing it every week at the moment. Got his possessions up to about high teens. Putting pressure on. Didn't kick a
goal.
Two goal assists.
A couple of goal assists. Yeah. Gibbons kicked three.
Outstanding.
And
he's a player, mate. He's a player. He's a player. Yeah. He can play at the level. He'll play 130 games. Yeah.
Fantastic. And Murphy's also like, I thought Murphy's game was pretty damn good.
Early.
It could have been a little bit better.
Early in the hustle and bustle when we were, Murphy's ball use did stand out, I reckon.
I thought his composure. He only had four tackles, but they were all big tackles.
They were big tackles.
Murphy's big ones.
That's a part of his game. He's really,
I said to you a couple of weeks ago, he looks bigger.
He does.
He looks like he's got himself something, in the gym and really put on a bit of upper body.
Something looks different about him.
It's amazing how he's...
I don't know how it's happened.
His whole game has just changed in the last...
He's definitely on top of the ground at the moment. Yeah. He's moving better. Yeah.
No, he makes such a difference.
He looks fantastic.
Yep.
And just another cog in the wheel.
Yeah.
Keep going, Murph, if you can stay fit.
That is it.
As we finish, I just wanted to quickly just say thank you to everyone out there in Twitter sphere and my own friends and family who listened to last week. And just thank you to all of you for, those heartfelt,
You're a big softy.
No, not at all, Andy. Not at all. I didn't realise that it would make such a hell of a baloo, but it certainly pulled on a few chords out there when I read out Fee's little statement that she gave me. Incredible, because there's a lot of people out there that go with their kids, and, a lot of them were saying they don't want to wear the jumper, they don't want to do this, they don't want to come, they don't want to... But you know what? It's fantastic to hear that, what I'm experiencing, a lot of people out there experience too. It was good feedback, that's all.
You know what? You've opened the door to a subject that is becoming very dear and passionate to me, and this could start a conversation that would go for another hour.
Well, let's not do that because it's now 25 past 10.
I'm just going to hint on it very briefly, and you touch on this in your show with Bob Murphy. When you bring people into your show that speak naturally from the heart, from experience in humanity, the word is humanity.
Mm.
And you look at the wider world and all the problems associated with it, and they are all related to this very subject because human beings are malnutritious with their humanity, and it is causing all of the problems of the world. We have become dissociated with each other. We have become independent of each other. We have become isolated of each other. We are lacking humanity. And when you reach out, Baz, and when I hear Cleary and Gilbert and these guys come on your show and speak from the heart about real things, touching all of the people that have touched them and relating it on in words and stories that touch us and bring out our emotions and our humanity, it is so obvious to me that it is the solution to all of our problems.
There's not enough of it.
And we've just forgotten to be human beings.
Yep. Yeah, there's no doubt. I
didn't mean, Andy, anything by it. I didn't mean to be, like a softy and bring out the emotions. I was just basically... I know that a lot of people talk to me about, I'd heard a lot of things actually. When you hear little tackers don't want to wear their Carlton jumper to school, Andy, that breaks your fucking heart. I just can't, we grew up in an era where, we wore our jumpers and we'd be putting shit on St Kilda supporters. Mm. Let's face it, we did. South Melbourne supporters, probably, I didn't know any. Melbourne and Footscray, because they were such rank clubs. And we were the high and mighty. Well, these kids are experiencing the opposite to what we experienced. And they don't like it. So what they're saying to their parents is, we don't want any more of it.
Well, hopefully we're better next time we're a good club. as well. Hopefully we learn.
Oh, well, yeah, that too.
Hopefully
that
we learn
too.
The lessons
of the past. I appreciate that too, and I think, you know? I think I will be better because...
Yeah. Well, we grew up in an era where we had the biggest, most powerful and, you know, where Carlton fucked the rest, all that sort of stuff. Well, you know, those days
are gone.
Of course
those days
are
gone. I won't be that person. No. On one night I might be on the night of the grand final.
No, it's exactly
the night of the grand final.
You can win with dignity and win with grace.
I'm not sure that night. I think I'll go a bit off the top that night, but... But then after that, Andy, I think I'll be a very better person. You know,
we'll just bear that in mind.
We'll give you one night.
That is it. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Richmond Sunday. It's our home game, isn't it?
No, theirs.
It's theirs, righto. Get along. Fly the flag. See you next week.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous old Dark Blues.
It's Tyre Power's Big Footy Final Sale. To kick things off, you can get the power to buy three and get one free on selected Toyo passenger car and SUV tyres. Tyre Power's Big Footy Final Sale can't last. Visit tyrepower.com.au now.